Christmas series that I entitled The GOAT, Greatest of All Time Christmas Series. We're on week two, which is peace. Peace. That's what we have, right? Because of Christmas, we have peace. Peace that transcends understanding is Christ's gift to us. We have to receive his gift of peace this Christmas season. Amen? Well, again, for those of you who were not here last Sunday, Advent is what we're experiencing before Christmas. Advent is actually a season of hope. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links the past, present, and future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ's coming, while at the same time looking forward in the hopeful and eager anticipation to the coming of Christ's kingdom when he returns for his people. Peace, right? Peace. Well, we have this right here. Here goes nothing, you know. This is a Christmas tree, if for those of you who are not aware. This is the best way I would probably handle such a thing is, you know, when I was growing up with Jamie in the Philippines, we were so poor that our Christmas tree was made out of yarn and those thumbtacks. And we would look for those cusps in the wall where they would usually put the idols. We would put the manger, those foldable manger, you know, and then I would make a tree. So now that you get in America, you know, you have 5 Christmas trees at the house, you know. But there, you could barely afford one. Christmas tree, when Christmas season comes, we make this, what my wife calls, a happy mess at the house. A happy mess, you know. The stuff comes out of the storage, right? It comes out of the storage, and there's things are everywhere. Christmas balls, or what do you call them? Bulbs. I call them Christmas bulbs, pala bulbs. Now, it's quite stressful at times. Christmas. Do you agree? Because you want to keep things orderly. Or everybody has their own preference. I have a way to design a Christmas tree. And sometimes, because everybody has their own preferences, conflicts happen. Right? Colorblind ka kasi. Like, don't put that there. Spouses fight. Siblings fight. And all of a sudden, what you're trying to do to have a very happy and merry Christmas, because of the time to design the Christmas tree, it becomes a very stressful Christmas. Now, it's hard to imagine a world of complete peace, isn't it? Especially the world that we're living in right now. Even when you focus on your own family, it can be difficult to imagine a conflict-free week of peace and tranquility. It's hard. Let alone an entire world filled with peace. And as for our example of decorating a Christmas tree, it shows, and those of you who've done it, you know it, the simple task, even the simple task, can dissolve into conflict and frustration. So what's the trick? What's the remedy? Don't have a Christmas tree. I know. Let's all turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. If you don't have it, at least you have the address, and let me read it for you. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, for then, on, and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in a word of prayer that we will get to our message. Father, we thank you once again for this building that you've given to us. We thank you for our health, that we were able to get up this morning and to spend time with our families and our loved ones. We thank you for protecting us from coming from our house and going here to the church. We ask now, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, that you guide us, that you speak to us. As they hear my voice, Father God, I pray that they will hear you in their hearts and in their souls. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins are many, and I pray for your grace and your mercy. I ask for your anointing, Lord God. Bless my preparation and speak to your people, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Now, in this passage of Isaiah that we read, he was speaking, prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But you know, it took about 700 years before Jesus actually was born, that greatest of all time Christmas day, when our Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace was born. Can you imagine that? There was a day in the history of humanity that the God of the universe became a man. There was that one particular day. The government Jesus is in charge of will never stop, according to Isaiah. Never stop growing, and will never run out of peace. The church is from then until now continues to grow. Yes, there are attacks here and there. There are churches that are closing down, sadly. There are churches that are dying. There are wrong doctrines being proclaimed in certain churches. But the church of Christ continues to grow nonetheless. In a world filled with conflict, this is obviously so hard to imagine. Imagine a world of peace. But what does this mean? And how can we embrace the peace of Christ in the midst of it all? I can't think of anyone better to learn from the Prince of Peace himself. Let's see what Jesus has to say. Right? But before that, when you think of the word peace, often we describe it, or it's defined in our minds, as freedom from disturbance and tranquility, a state or period in which there is no war or a war has ended. That's the definition from Webster's Dictionary. No trouble. When you think of peace, no trouble, no disturbance. Now, if you're older than 6 years old, I would say that you know that life has its share of trouble. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior for some time, you know that Christian life also has its share of trouble. If not, maybe because the world, as a Christian, maybe more. We experience trouble more because the world is completely upside down against the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that is guiding us. So as a Christian, you're experiencing more trouble. But wait, I thought you said we were talking about peace. We are. But the first point is you will have trouble. Because you know what? We can, I cannot, you can, we can. I guess from time to time we want to argue with God. But Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The first point of our message of week of peace is that you will have trouble. It starts with decorating your Christmas tree, or the lack of Christmas tree, or the multitude of Christmas trees. Sometimes the trouble comes from the blessing that we receive. Those who are married know what I'm talking about. Right? Jesus has been telling his disciples, in this chapter, before this verse, Jesus was telling his disciples of the trouble that they will be experiencing. But they could not understand it. That he will be captured. And that he will die on the tree. But they were not understanding it just yet. Jesus was telling them the truth. Even though they did not understand it, even though Peter said, over my dead body, Jesus was telling them the truth. So church, please hear me. Peace with God means not the absence of trouble, but having Christ while you're in trouble. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shared these words with his disciples, and the truths he shared then are just as relevant today. In many ways, we have added the bonus of knowing Jesus was telling the truth the whole time, because the disciples didn't know. They didn't have the Bible, right? We do. We have been reading this verse. We've heard about this verse. We've been studying about this verse. And we have the blessing that Jesus was telling the disciples the truth. You know what? He is also telling us the truth. That in this life, we will have trouble. So question, what does it mean to have peace in Christ? What it means is, having peace in Christ means believing in and trusting all He did. It doesn't mean you'll have a conflict, problem-free life. In fact, your allegiance to the kingdom of heaven puts you in direct opposition to the world. So, expect trouble to come. It means that you can have peace deep in your soul no matter what trouble comes your way. I ask for permission. I know I seldom ask for permission from people, but Brother Larry and Sister Loretta, I spoke with them before I came to the church. And some of you may know that Brother Larry has been having bladder issues, and he's back. He was in the hospital for like about a week since Wednesday. I think more than a week. Or Tuesday, yeah. He was in the hospital Tuesday. And, you know, Brother Larry has been in the wheelchair. He's been a quadriplegic for 39 years. 39 years. His brother Larry, he reads his Bible. So last year, that was his 38th year. And he knows that the paraplegic that was healed in the Bible was healed after the 38th year, during the 38th year. So he said, this could be my year, he said. But he missed it, he said, he missed it. So as he's going through trouble, the verse of James was echoing in his mind, he said. Consider it pure joy as you go through troubles and tribulations. But he told me when I visited him the first time, he said, how I wish he was very clear that the trouble and tribulations will come every 2 days. Because it seems to be for him, it's coming in more frequently. 39 years. But the peace in Christ, as we've described here, is when Loretta called 911, and they never called 911. So she was really concerned. Loretta was really concerned. But Brother Larry said, don't worry. God is in control. And as I saw Sister Loretta too, and she said, I know everything leads to heaven, but you cannot help but to worry. That's what peace in Christ means. That's what peace in Christ means. Look at that again. I have told you these things so that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. See, happy hour will not work. Happy hour will not work. Happy hour is temporary. The movies that will soothe your loneliness is momentary. Anything that you can get in the world, because it says in this world, you see it? In this world you will have trouble, but where do you get peace? In me, you may have peace. You see it? So during this Christmas time, you're experiencing trouble, you're not experiencing Christmas peace. Christ is peace in you because you're too much in the world. Because in the world, you will have trouble. So is Brother Larry in the world? No, he's not. We just said, right? If you belong to God, God said, right? If you belong to me, you will have trouble. Now, how about imagining yourself Christmas shopping at the mall? People had been pushing you, elbowing you, right? And cutting in front of you all day. During a 10-minute extra 10% off special at H&M for the young guys. Someone grabbed that nice sweater you've been wanting. They took it from your hands and looked you in the eye and said, mine. But you yanked it. You're like, no way, man. Spirit in Christ is in me. But you yanked it back and you won. By 4 p.m., you're already in a cranky, bad mood. You are the once saved, always saved Christian at that moment. But you met some friends at the mall restaurant, right? And you flagged down a server. And then you barked because you were in a bad mood. I need my hot tea now. And the waitress, Filipina, you know, she wasn't going to take it. She snapped back. She's like, I'm not your server. Wait for your turn. And then you responded, lady, I've been waiting my turn all day. Bring me my tea. But the waitress, again, Filipina, ignored you. A few moments later, a friendly young man comes to your table and said, hi, I'm Rob, and I'm your waiter. After he took your order, you watched Rob as he helped the rude waitress with her tray. He greeted the other customers and staff with a smile on his face. In the midst of all the hurried customers and the chaos of the season, he had a polite and unhurried atmosphere of calm. When he refills your iced tea, you noticed a bracelet on his hand, connected letters spelling Jesus. Now, would that be a sobering moment for you as a believer? The young man's example should remind us of the peace that Christ came to bring. That should help us enjoy the rest of your day, right? Of our day. At that point, after that, you should be opening doors for people, right? Letting them go first in front of the line. Then you should have that atmosphere of peace. Because in Christ, you will have peace. Knowing full well that trouble doesn't take a holiday break, amen? Does it? Because all this Christmas mumbo jumbo that we're doing, all this good feeling that we're trying to really consume and keep for ourselves, the moment that the calendar and the clock strikes 12 o'clock and it's December 26th, guess what's happening? Your trouble is still very much there. You had a nice moment, yes. Enjoy it for every moment that you can. But trouble for some of us, still very much is present and will be present during and after the Christmas season. But God knew it. God knew it. That because of sin coming in the world, He knew that life will be full of trouble. That's why He sent His Son. That's why He came. So that in Him, we will have peace. And that's my introduction. 20 minutes. You think I'm kidding, huh? There are 408 verses on peace, and we will talk about them tonight. No, I'm not. We're going to summarize it, okay? There's three kinds of peace. There's three kinds of peace. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. That's a summary of all the 408 verses in the Bible. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. Because you cannot give what you don't have, amen? Yeah, you can charge it on the credit card, but then you're going to have to pay it, right? But in all honesty, the peaceful people that relate with you have peace with themselves. And the only way that someone can have real peace in themselves is if they have peace with God. Because of Christmas Day, the world has the gift of peace. That peace. That in the midst or despite the trouble, or in spite of the trouble that they are facing, they have peace in Christ. That's the gift that Christmas Day, the greatest of all time Christmas Day, has given us. Because of Christmas Day, we have peace in us. That the Holy Spirit indwells in us and guides us. Do you know that one gift that you probably are not aware of is that the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in you, believer, prays for you? He prays for you. That's in Romans 8:26. All the unspoken groanings of your spirit, the ones that you are not uttering because you don't even know you need it. The Holy Spirit is so good. He's so gracious. He's so merciful. He is the one that's asking the Father, Joe needs peace. In Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And with that, because you have peace and you have peace with each other, what you become? Thankful. You become thankful. Because of Christmas Day, we have peace with God. We have peace within us. And henceforth, we will have peace with others. Again, having peace in Christ means believing in and trusting in all that He did, not ours. So if in this whole month you've been falling because you've been so stressed, you've been so grumpy, you yelled at your wife, you kicked your dog, right? Just know that God has forgiven you. Amen? That gift of peace then that you received 5 years ago is still the gift of peace now. Knowing that you're forgiven from your sins in the past or yesterday or an hour ago is forgiven. That should create peace in Christ. Again, the trouble comes when you are in the world. In the world. Second point, peace that transcends understanding. In Philippians 4:4-7, it reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." Deep abiding peace. This is the real peace. You cannot fake it. Real peace is just resides in you. But you know what? It's difficult to understand. That's why Paul said there, that surpasses all understanding. In every situation, whether good or bad, we present our request with thanksgiving to the Lord. Are you prayerful, believer? Peace with God means that we are given the privilege to speak to Him. The world will be full of trouble, but we are also given the privilege to pray, to lift up our concerns to Him. Right? Rejoice. We trade our anxiety for peace, fear for rejoicing. Suspicion that God is not true, we trade suspicion for faith. And amazingly, divinely, miraculously, the peace of God we have in Christ. And the peace of God in Christ guards our hearts. Because the first thing that fails when trouble comes is our emotion. Amen? Okay, three of you, yeah. Some of you are tougher than the others. And then if it's not your heart, it's your mind that gets troubled, right? You're 46 and you're laying down in your bed. The dog is sleeping. Your wife is snoring. Your children are out, right? The neighborhood is all asleep. But you're wide awake at 2 o'clock in the morning because, again, you're 46 and your business is not going well. You have 2 college kids, tuition fees coming, mortgage is around the corner, car payments is lurking, credit card bills is rising. You're 52. You thought that you will be retired by 55. You're 26. You're fresh out of college. And you're thinking, man, am I going to learn this trade quick enough? Are they going to like me? Are they going to accept me? You're retired and all of a sudden retirement doesn't look like what you imagined. You're healthy, you're wealthy, but your children, they left the house. You have this 3,000 square foot house all for you and your wife. You're worried. What's it going to look like? It's Christmas, you have a table full of food. Are they going to come? Are they going to eat? Are they going to like it? Trouble comes. Worry comes in different forms for us. It doesn't matter how old you are or where you are in your life, but worry in the form of trouble comes. But as Christians, we are given the gift of prayer. And with the gift of prayer comes the gift of peace, because with peace, because as Christians, we have Christ. And the only way that we can really be connected with Him is through prayer. So I spoke about Jamie being in the ICU last week when we spoke about hope. My hope was still very much there. But you know what? That same time that I was facing worry and concern that I might lose my sister or that she will never come back to normal, I got a phone call that my dad was also in trouble health-wise. He was internally bleeding. Jamie had a brain bleed. My dad was internally bleeding. And it seemed like the news was, he was gravely ill. I had to pull hope, as I spoke about last week. I have to get hope, knowing that God is still very much in control. But as I understood hope and accepted whatever God will do with Jamie, and I trusted Him, the peace came. Jamie was still laying down on the hospital bed. My dad was still very much sick. But I had peace knowing that God is still in full control. Brother Larry said that after they called 911, and he was sweating. See, he said for a quadriplegic, he's not supposed to be sweating. While he was sweating, he knew that this was very serious. But as the moments went by, as they trusted in God, as their hope was in Christ, the peace that surpasses all understanding followed. They knew he was, I knew I was still in trouble, but I had peace. As the day progressed, as the week progressed, I had peace. He only started feeling better yesterday. Because they did a procedure and then a surgery, he only started feeling good yesterday. He wanted to make it here today, but they won't release him. Now, I'm not going to pretend to fully understand it, the peace that surpasses all understanding. But there is a power in prayer and a transformation that grows from gratitude. Gratitude. It's not the power of getting what we want or convincing God to see things our way. We can try and He will listen, but it's much more than that. The power of prayer happens in this experience of peace as our perspective changes and find an understanding that God is with us no matter what. An acknowledgement and acceptance that He, God, got this. And He can be trusted. And that He is enough. Amen? I don't know. I don't know if He is enough at times. Because, you know, we want that prodigal child to come back, right? We want that divorce, that impending divorce not to happen. We want that sickness to go away. We want those bills to be paid. We want the prayer to be answered exactly the way we asked. And as I was trying to finish my message today, I asked my wife, I go, hey, babe, there's this verse that it's so true. It's so simple. So simple. But it's so true. But at the same time, it's so scary. Is this verse. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Job 13:15. Now, Job lost his family, right? And he was the wealthiest man on earth at that time, and he lost his finances all in one day. I don't know if you've lost a child, but losing someone dear to you, and you lost all of them, right? In a moment's time, on top of your finances. And then the enemy says, take his health. Because remember the accusation of the enemy to God about Job? He's only serving you because you blessed him tremendously. Take it all away. See that he curses you. But Job said, though he may slay me, yet I will trust in him. His friends judged him as a sinner. You deserve it, basically, is what they're saying. None of this will happen to you if you're not a sinner. So you've probably sinned. So stop sinning so that this will stop. You know, Christians, I know this is not a New Year's message, but let us change that. Amen? Let us remove judging a trial that our brother or sister is going through and associating it with sin. Because you're probably not correct. Unless you're participating in that sin. So then you know. Curse God and die is what his wife said. What are you doing holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. And how did he respond to his lovely wife? He said, are you so foolish? Are we supposed to just accept good things from God and not bad things? Job's response is so simple,
But if you understand the magnitude of his losses here and the tremendous trials that he faced, I think you will get to admire it to where, Lord, I don't know if I have that faith. God was right about putting Job on the line. But even more, Job was right to trust God despite of all the troubles he has faced. If you have read the book of Job, God revealed to Job who he is, who God is to Job. Job did not have the privilege that we did. You know, the discussion in chapter 1, that it was God's idea. God did not even explain himself to Job. Listen, I was just testing you. No. We're all given the privilege, though, that God says, in this life, we will have trouble. But take courage, he said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Which brings us to our third point. Peace is Christ's gift to you. Have you ever read through the Gospels and found yourself marveling at all the different situations Jesus found himself in and how he always seemed to keep his cool? You see that? Right? When they brought in the woman who was caught in adultery, right? The mob was there and pressuring him. Or how about when he was just sitting there in the wedding, enjoying himself, and then they said, we're out of wine. And he just says, you know, it's just cool. Why is this my problem? Right? When the mob says, what are we going to do with this woman? She was caught in adultery. We were supposed to condemn her. What did God do? Stoop down, starts drawing down the sand. I think it was like putting down his signature, JC. Nobody knows what he wrote down there. But think about it. He was interrogated by the leading Jewish leaders of the time. On multiple occasions, the crowds tried to grab him and kill him. And on top of it all, he willingly chose to travel day in and day out with a man who he knew would betray him over to death. Right? The guy who does not pay his fare in the jeepney. What was it that Christ knew that we don't? Now think about that for a moment. What did Christ know that we don't? Why did he have peace despite all the trouble that he was facing? Christ had complete and total trust in who he was and what he was doing. He trusted the Father. And because of his trust, because of his faith, he was able to have peace in any and every situation. It's a powerful truth. Knowing that God is in control. Do you know that you will not live one more day than you're supposed to? Amen? All our days have been accounted for. It's been accounted for. God knew how old when we will be when he takes us. You know what's up to us? On the quality of those years. If God has ordained that I will live up to 73, it's up to me if I'm going to be living up to 73 as a sick guy or as a healthy guy. It's all up to me. Now, or you say, but people get sick. Yes, it's all up to God. What I can manage, eating healthy, exercising, sleeping early, eating properly, I should manage. Same with you. And then it's up to God to bless your prudency. Christ had complete and total trust in who he was. He is the Son of God, the begotten Son of God. Do you know who you are? You are a child of God. If and when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been adopted to his family. You belong to him, and the Holy Spirit resides in you. That's who you are. And Jesus has this kind of peace for you and me too. Listen to what Jesus tells the disciples in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I know you heard my voice there, but I hope your souls heard God. Let it stay in your minds and in your hearts, because I don't know what kind of trouble God may bring in your life. But always remember that God had this written down for many years for it to be discussed tonight or this afternoon for you, because it's the truth. Do not give to you, I do not give to you as the world gives. The world lies to us. The world makes false promises. Promises that are going to be, that's not going to happen. But do not let your hearts be troubled. And look at this one. Peace is a gift of Jesus. It's different from the things the world gives. And just like any other gift, it's your responsibility to receive it well. Amen? A father calls his son. The father is in Miami. He calls his son who's in Texas. It's like December, what is it now? December 8th. He said, calls his son, son, after 40 years of being married to your mom, we're done. We're splitting up. We're calling quits. The son goes, Dad, you cannot be serious. You have been with mom all these years. Plus, you're old. Who's going to like? No, he didn't say that. He said, you cannot be serious. You cannot do this, Dad. You cannot. You guys cannot do this. I'm going to call sister. And you can't do this. It's December. Christmas is coming. Let me call sister. The brother, the son, calls the sister, tells her about the issue. Sister calls the dad. Dad, I heard from brother what your plan is. Don't do anything until we get there. He hangs up, turns to his wife. Honey, it worked. Kids are coming and they're paying their way. Sometimes you need the trouble. Sometimes we need trouble. Unfortunately, I'm saying this. I know I said a joke there to lighten things up, but sometimes Christians, we need trouble. So that we will go back to God. So that we will see Him. The children will not go see their parents if there was no trouble. The plans was to party hardy and then until the new year. But when their parents was going to get divorced, what happened? Let's go. Let's go home. And then they paid their own way. That's the best thing, right? Sometimes trouble comes so that we will remember God. Because sometimes the blessing of the bread is what makes us forget the blesser, because we're enjoying the blessing way too much. We have been overweight with blessings and we are not doing anything, and we have been spiritually obese. Christians, you have to be spiritually healthy. The greatest of all time Christmas will be marked by peace. So, going back to this beautiful illustration, right? If I were to design a Christmas tree, it will be very simple. But see, as a guy, simple is the rule, right? We can't be very flamboyant. We can't be wearing too many loud colors. We're supposed to be just simple. I know Kuya Nico is a dude, but he can design a very nice Christmas tree. We have Mama Marcy and her multitude of talents that she can design a very nice Christmas tree. I have Jamie, who also can design a very nice Christmas tree. But I have me. If I were to design a Christmas tree, voila. That would be, again, I'm coming from yarns. From yarns to this is a big improvement. But see,
Yeah, you can't judge me, Tito Lawrence. Decorating Christmas trees, one of the most simplest thing, I think. Living this Christian life, though, is one of the most difficult things. But Christ says, in me, trust in me. So when it comes to Christmas trees, I have a wife, right? And I trust my wife. My trust is in my wife on how to design a Christmas tree. So this is our Christmas tree that she finished. I just want to show it off. Next slide, please. I know. Guys, the single guys, he who has been blessed with a wife is favored by God. Amen? Well, in Atalaya's case, you are blessed because Kuya Nico will design that. Now, some years ago, a submarine was being tested and it had to remain submerged for many hours. When it returned to the harbor, the captain was asked, "How did the terrible storm last night affect you?" The officer looked at him in surprise and exclaimed, "Storm? We didn't even know that there was one." The submarine had been so far beneath the surface that it had reached the area known to sailors as the, quote-unquote, the cushion of the sea. Although the ocean may be whipped into huge waves by high winds, the waters below are never stirred. This, I believe, is a perfect picture of the peace of Christmas. The waves of worry, of fear, of heartbreak cannot touch those who are at peace with God and with themselves and with others. Again, Isaiah 9:6-7, "For us, a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore." Amen? Now, questions are, what do you need to let go of today for you to have peace? Some of you don't have peace because you're not letting go of a certain thing. It could be bitterness toward a brother or a sister. It could be your pastor. What do you need? And the next question is, what do you need to place into the hands of Christ? Right? The sailors that were in the submarine, they went underneath and they were in the right place that they did not feel the storm. What do you need to place into the hands of Christ? Because until you give it to Him, you're not surrendering it to Him. And what do you need to do today? What do you need to do today to receive His gift of peace? Folks, Christmas is around the corner for sure. It's happy, it's fun, enjoy it. But don't let your peace be stolen by the enemy. Be quick to let go. Be quick to give everything back to God. And be quick to remind yourself that He is trustworthy. Amen? As the music team make their way up here, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you would like to do so this afternoon, please come up so I can lead you into that prayer. If you are having trouble and you want to let it go to God so that you can have peace, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer and that we can pray for you. And if you've been attending this church, but you have not committed yourself, but the Holy Spirit is saying, let's become a part of this body.
please come up so we can recognize you. Just join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for the peace that you have given to us because of your sacrifice, because of coming down from heaven so that you can become like us, God in the flesh. Forgive us, Lord, for the many things that we are not letting go. Forgive us, Lord, for being too much in the world rather than being in you. Help us to obtain the peace that surpasses all understanding. Help us remember everything that you have told us today. And help us, Lord God, to shine forth your light and to become peaceful, to become the source of peace for the people that we will come across with. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen, amen. Let's all rise for the closing hymn.